939-1140.
Says, we need a dog or two. I heard Matt Barnes is available. Pat Bev is a free agent after this season. Hey, man.
I think Matt's a little past his playing days.
Hey, man.
Matt's got kids in high school right now playing, and they're nice.
They are nice. From the 415, shout out to the 415.
Sure.
Morning, guys. If the Kings were to miss the playoffs this year, do you think Monty McNair will be on the hot seat considering the lack of moves in the offseason and trade deadline? Anyway, keep up the amazing work, boys.
You.
Hope y'all have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. You too. Well, 415, I would say it depends how you would classify hot seat. I would definitely say the seat starts definitely getting hot, and I would think that he has a year to kind of get the ship straight again.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. They were allowing this because it was the first time you made the playoffs.
Had a schedule.
And you did not know what was going to happen this season. If Kevin Huerter has another season like he had last season, if Keegan Murray had continued to play the way he played, if you had those two things with Malik Monk and the way he played, with De'Aaron Fox and the way he's played for majority of the season, and Sabonis, you would have had something. The problem is you missed those two key pieces from last season. And the other problem was other teams got better.
Yep.
The Thunder got better. The Timberwolves got better. And the Clippers were healthy. And the Pelicans were healthier than they'd been. Next thing you know, you're fighting for the play-in. And I'll tell you one thing about the play-in, Chris.
What's that?
I'm scared.
Yeah, we haven't been here.
And it is not somewhere that you want to be or anywhere I think the Kings expect it to be. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Will, we see you, but first, we're going to Doug. What you got for us, Doug?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
We're good. What you got?
Do I always tell you that I love your show?
You do, but
yeah,
it never gets old.
Never gets old.
Well, good. Hold on to that thought. So, I watched the game yesterday and listen to the calls and stuff, and then you hit my hot button when you talk about Harrison Barnes. We've talked about this many times. Your callers call in because of the love that they have for this team and also the frustration that's going on throughout this year, because it's not quite how many people had expectations that were much higher. So I look at last night and I go, well, tell you what, would I rather have you foul somebody to give me a reason to take you out of a game, or would I rather have you dribble it off your foot, make a bad pass, throw it out of bounds, and then let the other team advance up the court? So for me, I would rather him turn around and just foul somebody than do what he did and then find out that you don't have the depth to put in behind him. Plus, guys are carrying fouls yesterday that normally don't happen, which was Murray and Ellis.
Right.
So, you know, the credibility that is important in everybody's industry that they're in is at the top. That's why you guys do it. Someone says, man, I love those guys. They tell it like it is, but I got a bone to pick this time. So only thing that I say, no, I'm going to preface it. I'm being nice about this. And Barnes does not get the touches. So you can hammer the heck out of him every game because he's the easy guy to get on. Fox handles the ball. Sabonis handles the ball. Murray gets it some time, and Barnes is down there. How many touches did he get yesterday? How many shots did he get? So that's what I look at first, and that tells me the telltale. What happened at Utah or home against Utah on Sunday? He's getting the ball. He's getting the touches, and they aren't.
Yeah.
But he got touches.
Thanks.
So that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's all I have, guys. Have a great show, but I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Well, it's a chicken or the egg thing, right? Do the touches come because Harrison Barnes makes his first couple shots?
I'm actually looking at the touches right here, the tracking data from NBA.com. HB had 25 touches in 15 minutes. Guys who
that
are near that.
Feels like a lot.
I mean,
I don't know.
Keon Ellis had 43 in 30. In double the time, he didn't have double the touches. He had less than double the touches. Davion Mitchell, who's a point guard, had 40 touches in 25 minutes. Here's one. Trey Lyles, somebody who plays the same position as HB. HB, again, 15 minutes, 25 touches. Trey Lyles, 28 minutes, 29 touches. So he had four more touches than HB in 14 more minutes.
And had 10 points.
Still found ways to impact the game. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm not even saying Doug's wrong at all. I just think, because I do think that's part of it. HB doesn't, 25 touches is not a lot. That's not a ton of touches, especially from a guy who, again, when we looked up the numbers halfway through last year, HB was third on the team in touches. This year at that point, he was, I think, like seventh in touches. Mm-hmm. So he has taken a greatly reduced amount of just having the ball in his hands during the game. But it's finding other ways to impact. Like rebounding. You don't have to be skilled at all to rebound. You just have to be out there on the floor. How does HB get one rebound at, you listed his height and weight when he was, when you were holding up his, what, you said 6'8", 250?
Yeah.
How does he get one rebound? Who else got, let's see. Alex Len had one rebound. He played 11 minutes. That's not great either, but let's see here. Kessler Edwards played 1 minute 35 seconds, got a rebound. Chris Duarte played 5 minutes, got two rebounds. How does HB get one rebound when he's not scoring? You already know you're not. He took two shots all game.
Yeah.
You know you're not aggressively looking for your shot. Why don't you do something else?
Well, Chris, and out of those 20-whatever touches,
25.
He turned the ball over at three of them.
In 25 touches.
So that's not great either. But again, this is a pie chart. Everybody deserves some blame.
Yeah.
We're just looking at the most veteran guy on the team and saying, where you at?
Yeah.
916.
I'll yell at De'Aaron Fox, too. Well, I didn't De'Aaron like Fox, his shot look, selection.
He we got how much more time? We got three more hours. Everybody's going to get it. Will, what you got for us?
Man, you know I'm depressed. hey, look. Styles and Watkins, look. I'm going to ask you guys a question, okay? You're playing the Knicks tonight, okay? You know Bronson, you know you can't let him go off or you got to contain him, right? And you know you got Boston the next night. You know you got the Celtics the next night. You come out there, you play a super first half, you trapping Bronson, you containing him, you making him give up the ball, you playing a good game, and then in the second half, you're not trapping anymore. He's going one-on-one. Nobody can stop Brunson. He's had I don't know how many 30-point, 40-point games he's had this year. I think he's had even a 50-point game. Brown, I don't know what Brown – I'm going to tell you something, man. And then, you know, I call you guys all the time about HB. One rebound, one assist. You know, he get out rebounded by the guards every game. I don't care what he all that touches and stuff. That's ridiculous. The guy, you got to have it in you to go after rebounds. There's guys that are just going to go after rebounds and make it happen. But HB, he's so lackadaisical, man. I love when he's scoring because he don't do anything else. But here's the thing. This loss is on Brown. They played a good first half. They trapped Brunson. They didn't let him get off, okay? And then in the second half, they went away from that.
But, Will, they were breaking the trap. They were breaking the trap. That's why Josh Hart went off.
No, but we don't care about Josh Hart. Josh Hart got 31 right. Josh Hart is not going to get 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Somebody, you can't let Brunson break out for 35. Almost all them points came in the second half.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Will.
Like Castagazoo.
I think they were just confused. I think they just didn't know what to do. Once they started breaking the trap, to your point, De'Aaron said, hey, I got him. They tried.
He did not.
They tried Davion on him. They tried Keon on him. And they just got cooked.
Yep.
And maybe it's just a year. Look, Jalen Brunson's having an incredible year.
Ridiculous. You heard the MVP chance,
yeah,
right?
Maybe it's just a year where he just had the Kings number. And maybe you can sneak by and you beat the Celtics tonight and everything is all good. Oof. But it's going to be tough. And who are you going to trap today? Look, the bottom line is that a trap is a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
How many times, Chris, and I'm sure there's some complex number out there, how many times do you think the Celtics have trapped this season?
They have trapped?
Yes.
I'm sure it's a decent bit, but, I mean, they have enough individual
defenders. They don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to. They got Drew Holiday. Yeah. They got Jason Tatum. They got Jaylen Brown. They got Derek White. They got guys that can at least keep dudes at bay.
Absolutely.
Keep them in front of you. And nobody could keep. I mean, Jalen Brunson was toying with Keon. And I tweeted early when Keon made those early threes, I said it's a revenge game. Yep. Then somebody came in my mentions when I said Keon's getting cooked. And they said, man, you backtrack. And I said, look, I was talking about him offensively. Defensively, he got cooked.
6 of 11. Jalen Brunson was 6 of 11 when guarded by Keon Ellis. He was 5 of 7 when guarded by Davion Mitchell. He was 3 of 4 when guarded, I assume, switched onto Trey Lyles.
And Davion.
Just cooked them all. Every single one.
But that's what Davion, this is supposed to be your day. This isn't a Jason Tatum you're being asked to guard. This is literally, and we talked about it, this is your calling card.
Yeah.
A smaller guard.
Yep.
That's literally what you're supposed to get done.
Yep. That is exactly the kind of guy that you would say, Davion, he can't shoot over you.
Yeah.
If he's shifty, man, you're supposed to be shiftier. You're supposed to be just as quick defensively as anybody else. If you can't do this, I mean, that's argue again, like if these are the guys that you can't guard and you already, you know, we've already talked about him guarding guys like Clay and that. That's where it's like, that's why we need the offense from, and that's why it's great that Davion played great yesterday in total. You know, you look at his offensive numbers, that was needed without Malik out there, but at the same time, that's why it's so important for Davion to shut guys down on the defensive end, because if he's not, then he has to be providing the offense.
And look, when it comes to the blitz, it takes guts out there to hit shots when you're open. You had guys that weren't hitting shots early, right? And I'm listening to G-Man because I was on the way back from the sushi spot, and he's talking about how some of these guys, like you said, they did start out cold, okay? And they just kept shooting, and they figured it out.
Yep.
McBride, he was 0 of his first 7.
Yep.
And then after that, he was 4 of his next 5.
Felt like it.
It comes down to being a dog.
Yep.
It comes down to powering through, and it comes down to not being afraid of the moment. Dante DiVincenzo, 21 points, 5 of 9. Why is he always open? Why is he always open? They fight for every rebound. Dante just kicks it on the outskirts, okay, of the perimeter, and he's always open. And then their long rebounds, of course, the one time somebody like myself, not me, wants to take Sabonis' rebounds, well, they shoot too many threes. Sabonis only had 11 rebounds because they're long rebounds. It's 50-50 balls. Tom Thibodeau is going to get up in you if you don't get after those 50-50 balls, and it's a problem.
Yep.
And then you have the Kings just every time the ball is shot. How many second chance points did the Knicks have off long rebounds? I don't have to look at the 50-50 balls because I can tell you right now they did not win that battle.
No. They lost that battle. Second chance points. Actually, the Kings did win the second chance points, 17-9. The offensive rebounds was Knicks 9, Kings 9. So they actually did execute pretty well on this.
Well, they weren't timely. Yeah. I can tell you that much right now. It must have been all in the first half.
Yeah. Wow. 5 offensive rebounds for Mitchell Robinson yesterday. That might have been where you felt.
That's
it was
what
just
I'm saying.
Mitchell Robinson single-handedly just dominating the offensive glass.
When we return, continuing the conversation, how much blame does Mike Brown deserve? What are they doing at halftime? We have stuff. People are saying stuff on the text line that I don't think we can say over FCC airwaves as far as what the Kings are doing during halftime. But I tell you what, it's not making adjustments. Styles & Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
We'll get to some A's talk later in the show. Have some sound and things to break down that we didn't get to yesterday because of all of the sound that we played, and we also had the press conference going, so we will have plenty of A's talk later in the show. Kings are the Hot topic right now, Harrison Barnes, Coach Mike Brown, De'Aaron Fox. People have things to say about De'Aaron Fox. Don't forget, we're 45 minutes away as well. Sactown Sports has teamed up with Fieldhouse American Sports Pub to hook up the best listeners in Sactown with an unforgettable night of hoops and hype. Come kick it with your boys, Styles and Watkins, on Monday at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub, and we will pick a lucky number at 12 p.m. You're going to get hooked up with a reserved VIP table right next to us for the championship, whether it's the DJ Burns-led NC State, whether it's UConn, whether it's Purdue, any of those teams that are able to get the W. And, of course, Alabama, can't forget Roll Tide. I don't care about nothing but the Tide. Nothing but the Tide. Any of those teams, we will be there hanging out, having a good old time. And even if you don't win tickets, slide through and hang out with us. We will be enjoying ourselves. I can guarantee.
Guarantee.
That much. But yeah. Kings fans did not enjoy themselves watching the Kings collapse in the Big Apple last night as Jalen Brunson did his thing in front of. And then I got to see Spike Lee. Oh, and man. You know you're going to see Spike
was
Lee.
Was that a use check? Was that a use check vest he was wearing? It was a Jalen Brunson puffer.
He's always had a puffer. You know? He's always had a puffy jacket on, but I don't think so. But,
I would have been extra mad.
You had Larry there, David. You had the whole crew. I mean, everybody is there. It's the Garden. I mean, shout out to them being at that game. Obviously, they knew it was a big game, and the Kings drawing a crowd like that. And then you get embarrassed towards the end of the game. And Mike Brown, would it be out of bounds to ask? And obviously, you can only do it if there is something that goes down, and we got a couple home games left. But if they come out, as Zion says, lackadaisical, if they come out like that, I think I might have to ask, what exactly is it that you guys do during halftime? Before you come out.
I would not ask that question.
I'm not going to do that. I would not ask that. But I want to. Because what is
happening? I think you could frame it in a way where you can get the answer you want, but I would not ask, what exactly do you do at halftime? Is it just passing out orange slices? Is that it?
Coach, are you a grapes team or an orange team?
Coach, who made the team bench?
Yes.
The banner as well?
Right.
Just curious. I think you can get a decent answer by asking, how much halftime, a lot is made of teams making halftime adjustments. Like, in your locker room, do you believe in making wholesale changes, or is it a lot of, just how much shifting actually happens during the halftime? Because I think it is a fair question, because we have seen this team, I don't know if I would go as far as say collapse in the second half,
They've never come out hot.
Exactly. I think that's the key, is that the Warriors, right? I mean, the organization that Mike Brown's coming from literally weaponized the third quarter and made it a thing that teams would be afraid of. It was, oh yeah, whatever. You can do whatever you want in the first half. Mm-hmm. It's really about surviving that third quarter. If you survive that third quarter, that's how you knew you actually had a chance against Golden State. That has not been the situation here in Sacramento at all, and I think that's a very fair question, is why haven't we seen a lot of booms in the second half? I mean, a lot of teams usually look different in the second half, and on this road trip, at least so far, one game in, there was no adjustments made at that halftime. And I think that hopefully by the time you're able to ask Mike Brown that question, they've fixed it. But I think it is. The spirit of it is fair.
Well, hopefully I don't have to, because they'll figure it out. That's if they haven't figured it out yet with, six games left? Yeah. 6 games left against a Boston Celtics team, which, again, if you're just now joining us, thank you for joining us. Jaylen Brown and Derek White are out. They are out. Yes. This is the most that you could ask for.
Yep.
This is the most that you could ask for, right? We said this whole time, okay, the Celtics, they already locked up the number one seed. Mm-hmm. People saying, oh, maybe they won't give their hardest. I don't want to hear that. When you play, you play.
That's right.
All we were hoping for was maybe you don't get the Celtics at full strength. And that's what we got.
Yep.
That's what we got.
And Derek White and Jaylen Brown are arguably, they're two, I don't want to say most important, but
glue guys type.
Yeah, I mean, like, the impact that Jaylen Brown has had this year has kind of gone understated. I mean, there was a lot of talk Jaylen Brown this offseason with him signing that contract extension and him having no left hand him being the highest paid player in the entire NBA starting next season. You know, a lot of people were coming down his road, and I think he's played really, really well. If you ask a lot of Celtics fans, they'll tell you Jaylen's arguably had a better season than Jason, or they've liked the season from Jaylen more than they've liked the season from Jason. So he's a huge impact player. And then Derek White, that almost goes without explaining, but Derek White is kind of the straw that stirs the drink for Boston. He's their glue guy. He's their Allen Stiles of this morning's Friday fun and games, if you will, where he is the middleman that makes everything connect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is going to be definitely a depleted Celtics team. The problem is, like I said up top, they still got Jason Tatum. They still got Kristaps Porzingis. They still have Al Horford. They still got Jrue Holiday. They still have Peyton Pritchard. They still have Sam Hauser. They have tons of guys who are more than capable of stepping up. And, you know, even though they've pretty much had the East clinched for, I don't know, it's been like 2 weeks now where they can kind of comfortably say the East is ours, they haven't really slipped much at all. I mean, they've had a couple losses here and there. I know they lost to Atlanta a couple weeks ago. But even still, they are 33-3 this season at home.
I'm looking here, and I just can't wait. Okay, who's it going to be today, Chris? You got to send a blitz at Jason Tatum because you won't be able to handle him. So just get ready for Porzingis. Is he hitting the threes? Peyton Pritchard, is he going to be open for the threes? Al Horford, we're going to have to deal with that.
Don't leave Al.
Sam Hauser, whoever, you got to blitz him. Jrue Holiday, he's going to hit some threes. Who's it going to be today? Who's going to be wide open because you got to put the Band-Aid on and because you can't guard someone straight up. And it's Jason Tatum.
I think they just get cooked tonight.
It's Jason Tatum tonight, so Keegan Murray, it should be you.
Can't put Keon on.
No,
on
you cannot
Tatum
put
either.
You cannot put Keon.
Yeah, it's all on the forwards.
Yeah, this is from the 707. This will be a disastrous season if we lose in the play.
Yes.
I said all season, not upgrading and not getting rid of Barnes would cost us. Fox is showing he is not a good enough leader and player to lead this team to a chip. That's from the 707.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to make any sweeping declarations like that about De'Aaron.
I think you need more.
Yeah. I mean, I think you need more in the regular season. I still think De'Aaron as a playoff player is somebody who's good enough. I mean, from what we – and this is the problem is we have 7 games to go off of. 4 of them were healthy. I mean, the De'Aaron Fox I saw last year in the playoffs, I still don't have questions about that guy. So getting to the playoffs is a different story, but I still think De'Aaron could be capable of leading this team far in the playoffs.
You just have
to get there.
You have to do it a couple different ways. Yeah, you have to do it a couple of different ways, and we'll discuss those ways when we return. Also, A's talk coming at you. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
30 minutes away. Sacktown Sports has teamed up with Fieldhouse American Sports Pub to hook up the best listeners in Sacktown with an unforgettable night of hoops and hype. Come kick it with us all night long on Monday during the national championship at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. And if you are the lucky number as far as a caller at 12 and 30 minutes, you will get a VIP table right next to your boys. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Maconda hotline. Folsom Maconda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Good morning / afternoon, boys.
Good morning. We're good. We're good.
Good. Excellent. So you got one of the worst, most non Okay, man. I've never seen a basketball player that has no three-point shot and no game outside of the arc like Josh Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But then that man still dropped 31 on us.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even take a three, and he still dropped 31 on us. I think to me, that's embarrassing, and that's very just that's disheartening, man. You have a guy literally who has no outside shot. He is, like you guys were saying, he is a point guard center. And it just there should be no explanation. There should be no excuse for that, man. You can't have somebody who can't shoot a three drop 31 on your dome.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, man. Not at all. And since Nate hung up on me yesterday, I'm gonna put him out there, man. He still wants to trade Mike Brown for Steve Kerr, all right? He still wants that done.
Just stop it. Stop it, Steven. And that was Nate who hung up on you.
Yeah. Well, that was during the – I did double duty yesterday. So during the drive, guys, I thought he was done. And I cut him. And
wow.
We were getting like 70 calls because right. Something big happened yesterday. I don't remember what it was.
Well, Steven, you got him again. There you go, Nate. You got to continue to wear that. And the Kings, they did wear it, man. Yeah, I'm looking at this Josh Hart line. 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 31 points.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
I'm trying to find if there's anybody who's had, I mean, there are a couple people who have scored 50 without hitting threes, but, you know, it's kind of the names that you would expect, you know, Allen Iverson and guys who pretty much played
right.
When the three, Giannis was the last player to do it, and this is actually insane. In 2023, Giannis scored 64 without hitting a single three. He still took three of them, but only hit none of them. I mean, yeah, you really can't have I mean, I'm looking at it, and it literally is just Giannis. Giannis is the only person who's been able to put up, I mean, 30 isn't anything too crazy, especially when looking at those numbers, but you know, a guy like Josh Hart just shouldn't be able to do that. And I know he's, you know, that's all hustle, honestly, is what it was. It was a ton of offensive rebounds, a ton of him just kind of being in the right spots at the right time. And I do think a big part of, you said it earlier, I think a lot of Josh Hart's points are directly because of Mike Brown's decision to blitz Jalen Brunson and essentially leave Josh Hart open to score as many as he did.
And nobody was willing to take a charge. And on top of that, when you have guys that are fouling him, I'm here, Chris, and I'm on the ESPN.com, and they're – Here are the two highlights. It's Larry David admires Jalen Brunson's three, and Josh Hart flexes on Kings after an and one. That was the other thing that killed me. All the and ones. Get in the weight room, because the Knicks are in there. Drink your muscle milk, okay? Because if you're going to foul somebody, foul somebody. How many and ones did they have?
There was a couple last night. I think Trey Lyles had two where he converted on his. Like, there was just a lot of really soft whistles yesterday in general. I didn't think the referees called a bad game, but you're right. I mean, that's always been frustrating to me. If you're going to foul somebody. And, you know, yeah, the Kings did get into really bad foul trouble yesterday. Sabonis had 5. Keon ended up fouling out. Keegan had 5. But ultimately, I mean, yeah, I think that they didn't do a good job of, you know, and a couple different people have called them soft today. I just don't think that they did a good job of being the aggressors. I think the Knicks are an incredibly physical team. Everyone knows that going into the game. It just felt like the Kings weren't ready to take the fight to them either. And that's actually another number as I'm looking at it here. And I think Doug might have mentioned it in his phone call. HB had 0 fouls yesterday too, which is, like, again, if you're not doing anything out there, if you're not getting rebounds, if you're not moving the ball, if you're just turning it over, go use your fouls, man. At least be a physical presence. And, you know, you can just, and I'm not meaning to harp on just HB, but, you know, yeah, that's definitely another thing that is really frustrating about his performance last night.
And on the other side of it, Keegan Murray, we talk about building a brand, a defensive brand, and trying to get the benefit of the calls. Keegan doesn't have that yet. And earlier we had a call that said, you know, guys that aren't normally in foul trouble like Keegan and Keon, they kind of are normally in foul trouble. Lately here, maybe to a lesser degree, Keon. But I know the last couple games, Keon has got some early fouls and has floated with it. Keegan Murray has been in foul trouble, it feels like, a decent bit this last stretch of games. And that's just not good when you cannot depend on a guy like Harrison Barnes. And I know it shows that you're giving effort on defense, but those fouls are killing you. They're killing you, man.
I mean, it'd be nice if they had another forward that they can maybe throw on those guys.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at it here. Yeah, this is the second time in the past 4 games Keegan has had 5 fouls or more. Let's see here. Since game number 70, Keegan has had, just over 3 fouls a game these past 6 or 7 games. It's definitely been it's been tough. I mean, you know, I think that they're really feeling the lack of forward depth right now. I think Trey has played really well, but you know, it's just not happening. I mean, it feels like they're giving all that they can, you know, for 10 games in a row, and then they slipped up against the Mavs, and it feels like they just are really struggling to. They're kind of having an identity crisis, it feels like, where they still want to be that high-potency offense, take a ton of threes, but it's like a weird push and pull of trying to play fast, but at the same time trying to slow things down on the defensive end. Yesterday just didn't feel good at all on either side.
The Kings, when they punch somebody in the mouth, that team figures out how to get up, right? Take it on the chin, and get back in the fight.
Yeah.
When the Kings get punched back or get punched in the mouth to start,
they go down.
They go down.
Yeah.
They have no counter.
10 count.
10 count. KO'd. Yep. They have no counter. They just look dazed and confused.
Yep.
And that is why people come down Mike Brown's road, because who else's road are you gonna go down? That on certain days it's different. Last night, with watching the same thing, Marshawn Lynch, over and over and over and over again. And maybe, Chris, it's a matter of, oh, well, what else do you want him to do? Go zone.
Yeah.
Do something else.
Go zone, for sure. Yeah.
Something, because you only had a couple shooters out there. I know McBride finally got hot, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
To the tune of 31 points for Josh Hart, who did not even take a three, and now we have to listen to his podcast. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you know what? And I'm looking at it too. I didn't even realize the Knicks are on the were on the first leg of a back-to-back as well. So they play today, and you know, yeah. I mean, the fact that they just seem like the hungrier team between the two, and Josh Hart. I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to get over the fact that he had 31 points yesterday on no threes.
Let me ask you this: in the history of those random games and how you always talk about random players dropping a 50 burger,
sure,
things like that. I feel like this can be in that category, in a separate category. How bad is this one?
It's not like extra bad, because at least Josh Hart is like a good player. Mm-hmm. We've had like Etuan Moore give you 30. We've had
Malachi
Troy Daniels.
Last night, by the way.
Yeah, that's got to be the most random person to ever score 50. I think he actually surpassed Corey Brewer as the most random 50. Malachi Flynn has no business doing that. Yeah, that was insane, actually. But we've seen tons of random guys do it. This one hurts more just because of, I mean, those other games were when the Kings were trash and anybody could just walk in and do it. This one, for it to be a high-stakes game, end of the season, and you know, the Kings need these wins, and for him to have that performance in the worst possible time from the Kings' perspective, definitely, I mean, you know, it's almost, I guess it kind of is in its own category, because this was an actual big game.
Yeah.
And usually they don't happen in big games. Usually it's just random middle of the season, whatever,
right,
bad team, doesn't matter. This is a really big game in which you could argue, Josh Hart might have put the final stake in the Kings' playoff hopes.
Well, we'll discuss
play-in
the playoff.
Territory.
Yes, we'll discuss the playoff hopes and the play-in setup right now when we return. Styles and Watkins, Stack Down Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
When I say that this is a huge night for the Kings and playoff implications, play-in implications. I mean it. Here's a slate, Chris. Kings at Celtics, obviously. Raptors at Bucks. Okay, that was random. I don't know why that one mattered. Timberwolves at Suns. Warriors at Mavericks. Mm. Those are the three that basically, if you can get, I guess, the Suns to lose, the Pelicans at, or Spurs at Pelicans, that's a big one, but maybe Wemby goes off. And you're looking at now, there's still a chance at six, but
have
really.
You seen Sunday? Sunday's a really big day. I'm actually shook by Sunday's schedule is Houston at Dallas, Cleveland at Clippers, OKC plays at Charlotte, New Orleans at Phoenix. You have Sacramento, Brooklyn, of course. You have Utah at Golden State, and you have Minnesota at Lakers. There's a lot of playoff implications. I think every single team that has any sort of playoff implication this weekend is massive starting tonight.
But to me, if the Kings lose tonight, I think seriously this time, I will not talk about the six anymore. Now it's about the seven.
Right. It feels like it's starting to get out of reach, and then especially when you factor in they play OKC. But, you know, even saying that, if you beat, you know, it's exactly what you said last week, though, is if you beat the right teams, it might not be over. If you lose tonight but then win out against Brooklyn, against against OKC, and then you take care of Pelicans in Houston, and you finish off the season with the win against Portland, you might not be that far off. I don't know where they would fall. I mean, that'd be a 5-2 finish, or I guess a 5-3 finish, depending on when you started counting this thing. I don't know. I mean, I still think that there is crazier things have happened. I just think that if you're only a game back, and I know the scarier thing to me is being a half game ahead of the Lakers right now, but you're only a game back still of that six seed, and you still play New Orleans and Phoenix. If you lose tonight, you'll be two games back, I believe. But you can still make it up if, I mean, we know how tough of a schedule Phoenix has. If New Orleans starts to slip with Zion and Brandon Ingram, maybe missing some time here at the end of the season, it's still not completely cooked. To me, it's not cooked until they lose that third game. If they lose tonight, you're on life support. And then if you lose again, that's when I would say it's over.
Right. And again, we started yesterday saying you can only lose two more games. If you fry them in the first, and you have to beat the Pelicans and the Suns if you want to stay out of the play-in. So basically, two games, so they wouldn't be done, but you just have to not lose again. And to me, I just don't know that that's possible. I mean, anything is possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might not be likely, but, you know, if they take care of business today, then it even gets easier down the stretch. I just think that with how close it is and, you know, teams not winning exactly games that you would 100% say that they should, like, I just think that a lot of things are still possible. As long as they're two games removed with those head-to-heads still in there, I just don't think you can count these guys out until they lose one of those New Orleans or Phoenix games. They're going to be in it as long as they're at least two games within it. Six, maybe not, but I still think that the Kings can. And I'm not saying they deserve it. I'm not saying they've played well enough to even get it. But I'm just saying it's not completely out of reach. And I don't think that teams like OKC and, you know, again, a downed Pelicans team, and, you know, you're just saying a one-game playoff situation against Phoenix, like, I don't think that that's insurmountable. I don't think it's likely, but I do think that there's a possibility that things go in the right direction. The Kings still have been playing good basketball these past 10 to 15 games.
Well, you know what makes things even more confusing is that the Clippers, I guess maybe the Kings gave them a wake-up call. The Clippers beat the Nuggets last night, which was pretty surprising.
I think no Jamal last night again.
No Jamal again last night, but even still, that shows either the Clippers just kind of sleptwalk, and that's kind of classic Clippers to do that. They beat the Nuggets by two with no Jamal. But The way I see it, Chris, and the reason that we can be upset about the way that the Kings are losing,
yeah.
But at the same time, the way I think I'm just mentally preparing for the play-in is simply because of Malik Monk and to a lesser degree, I know I was on these airwaves talking about Kevin Huerter and do you start somebody else? But if you look around this team and every pass is going to another role player, if it's not De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis, to me, you're just not going to survive. Yeah, a Tom Thibodeau team, they can survive with role players sure. and Jalen Brunson. Yeah. This team just doesn't have it. This team just doesn't have that. And Davion Mitchell might be hot for a couple games or a couple halves of games. Keon Mitchell might get hot for a couple halves of games. Trey Lyles. But the chances of them all coming together enough and the amount of times they're going to need to get the sixth seed. Now, if you want to talk seven, maybe it's possible. But I know it's not technically done, but I just don't feel very confident that this team has enough offensively and now sure. defensively, because they're supposed to be a good defensive team now, and you got a small guard, and I know he's Jalen Brunson, but nobody is able to stop him. You can't stop Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, McBride, and they're missing their guys
yeah.
and or score enough. So to me, as much as we can be upset about how they're losing, my expectations just aren't that high anymore.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, and they probably shouldn't be that high. Like, yeah. I mean, if you're losing your probably third most impactful player for this season in Malik, like, there shouldn't be a lot of expectation. I just think that it's a possibility. Like, I just don't want to completely count them out. Again, I don't believe that they'll get it done. I think it is just too big of a task and too big of a hole that they've put themselves in. But at the same time, it's something that we said a lot more so towards the middle of the season. There's a reason why Dallas is still not as much Dallas anymore, but, you know, Phoenix and New Orleans. There's a reason why they're in this category, yeah. too. The Kings are not the only team that has been really frustrating this year, that has blown games that they shouldn't lose. Those teams have done it as well, and I would just caution everyone to say, my team sucks, and it feels like everyone around us is just significantly better and going to take advantage. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying at all. I'm just saying I would be careful about completely burying this team until there's just not enough games left to make up how many they have. Of course, I'm still a lot more – my focus right now is not being the 9 seed a lot more than being the 6. Yeah. I think you're on that same wavelength. But again, just with how these standings have shooken up every single day, it feels like there's a possibility, crazy enough, we come in on Monday and the Kings are the 6 seed.
Yeah.
It is like that is a possibility. And then the way that we're going to talk about them next week, the final week of the regular season, is going to be completely different than what we might expect it to be right now. I'm just saying maybe crazier things have happened, and it wouldn't surprise me if they end up turning this into a positive and somehow sneaking in to that 6th seed. I don't think it's likely, but unfortunately, because I don't know how much longer all of our collective blood pressures can take it, I just think that there still is a shot that they end up in the 6.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. I just
We just don't believe it.
I don't necessarily yeah. believe it, and maybe if they beat the Celtics, I'll be back on that
sure.
bandwagon a little bit. And it's not a matter of trying to be pessimistic or it is what it is, but you know, you got Keon Ellis taking a bunch of shots or trying to do things. And these are guys, and it really just speaks to where the team is. And not to do the off-season thing, but to me, you look around this league or you look around the Western Conference and you have some teams that are trying to make the push to win a championship. You have teams that are rebuilding, and the Kings are looking right smack dab in the face at Limboville. And you do not want to be in Limboville. Yeah. It's a bad place to be. Okay, it is a very, very bad place to be.
You want to know how I know we're in a bad place? I'm looking at the SAC chat right now, and Ward says, and I know, Alan, you probably shouldn't have touched
it. I saw it, and I did not read
it. If we don't make it out of the play-in, we have to cancel the beam, right? No beam next year.
I'm not speaking on that.
You're not going to. I'm not going to allow you to speak.
I am
it.
Not.
But that's
touching
how down
that.
Bad we are.
That's where we're
people
at.
Are wondering if the spirit of the beam is lost.
Kevin Herter's on the team. Exactly. I'm kidding.
It's not going to happen.
I'm
it's
kidding.
Other but teams, that's how damn bad we are.
Other teams that I would consider in Limboville would be, I mean, basically it's literally the standings, to be completely honest with you. But the Suns, I would say the Suns.
With how tough their schedule is,
but,
right?
But I'm saying moving forward into next season. The Suns, they shouldn't be in Limboville. I would say they believe they're in championship window.
Yeah, I mean, they have no choice. They're cap locked.
I'm looking at the Pelicans, Limboville, the Kings, Limboville. I'm not really considering the Lakers and Warriors because you have your superstars. So they are.
They're aging out.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they're in limbo. They're just on the way down.
Yes, but they know who they're not going to move. Maybe the Warriors might be a Limboville, but I'm looking at the Pelicans. I'm looking at the Kings, and I guess you could put the Mavericks. But Mavericks, they know they have their guy. And I'm not coming down De'Aaron's road, but you know you know what you know. The Mavericks know more about their team than I think the Kings know more about their team. I think the Kings have the most questions to answer this summer. And because of that, that makes these next six games very, 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 very important. All right. We have the giveaway when we return, and we are switching over to the A's. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.